Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Now, former England football manager Gareth Southgate says the lack of positive role models for young men has created a void which is being filled by manipulative and toxic influencers. Ahead of delivering the 2025 Richard Dimbleby lecture this evening, he also said influencers are willing to trick young men into believing that success is measured by money and that the world, including women, is against them. Well, we're joined now by Dublin City University's Professor Debbie Ging, Director of the Institute for Research of Genders and Sexualities, and Dr. Elaine Burns from the School of Psychology, and you're both very welcome to the programme. First, let's just hear a clip from Gareth Southgate speaking earlier.
Young men are suffering. They're feeling isolated. They're grappling with their masculinity and with their broader place in society. We have to show young men that character is more important than status, that how you treat others is more important than how much money you make, that values matter, courage, humility and integrity.
That is Gareth Southgate there, ahead of his Dimbleby lecture this evening. Well, I come to Elaine Burns from the School of Psychology first. And Elaine, would you agree with Gareth Southgate's assessment there that young men are suffering and feeling isolated, grappling with their identity?
I certainly do agree. And I thought Gareth's, he was most eloquent. And he really touched a nerve, I think, with so many people, Sarah. I think I've been thinking about this today. And certainly, I think since the pandemic, young men, that was a very isolating time, particularly for young men. And I think it was a time when they had very little outlet, you know, so the boys who would have been sporty and would have been engaged in sport, they were denied the opportunity to let off steam and to meet with their friends through sport. School, they were curtailed through school, through lockdowns, where they weren't able to go out and socialise in a school setting. And also they were spending a lot of time online. And that kind of fed the isolation that they would have felt. Now, I know it was, one would hope, a once-in-a-lifetime event, the pandemic. But I don't think, Sarah, that we have come to terms with and we have addressed in any real kind of way the impact, the very real impact that the pandemic had on young people. And also, and why, I think during that time, the hold that these toxic influencers in the manosphere really took hold on young men and
why
views,
is that, Elaine,
them.
Do you think? Because young girls were also, you know, subjected to all of those factors that you outlined there when it comes to COVID and the pandemic and all of that. Why is it that young men, not all of them obviously, but a lot of them and a worrying number of them are looking to influencers like, for example, Andrew Tate, and young women aren't? Like, what's going on?
Well, I don't think necessarily that women aren't looking to outside or aren't being influenced. However, I do think for young men, it's very much reflective, I think, of society. And the reality is we still live in a very patriarchal society. And what the likes of he who shall not be named are able to do is massively harness the power of that, and of that then influence young men who are vulnerable and particularly vulnerable to being influenced.
Can I come in there for a second? Because we have lived in a patriarchal society for a long time, haven't we? Why is it that now we're seeing more of this type of behaviour? Is it simply, you mentioned online, is it that?
Look, this is a much more an area of expertise for Debbie, but I'll give my opinion on this. I think that the manosphere has radicalised young men so easily because of all of the systems that are in place. So, you know, societal systems, socialisations, relationships, and the role model teaching that patriarchal masculinity has shown them, that there's very little regulation online. Yeah. We can see intimidation, aggression and dominance as a tool that the likes of Tate, for example, are using to influence them.
Well, can I bring in Debbie on that? I mean, very little regulation online, says Lane. Is it not the case that the internet has deregulated violence and pornography and sexism, and social media has actually put them on speed? Is that not the problem here?
To some extent, clearly it's part of the amplification of the problem, but the problem pre-exists social media, and there was an anti-feminist men's movement, you know, before the internet. And as you say yourself, Cormac, you know, we've been living in a patriarchal society for a long time. But I think there are a number of factors that have come together in a kind of perfect storm over the past couple of decades that are a combination of the technology, obviously, but also economic factors and sociocultural factors that have been leading up to this. And a major, major factor is the economy and the fallout from neoliberal capitalism. Like, we're living now in a time of polycrisis, and whether or not people are conscious or young people are conscious of that, they can feel it in the atmosphere. If, you know, the climate crisis, the economic crisis, the instability of the labour market, the erosion of the unions, etc. So those signifiers that, you know, traditionally have been associated with masculinity, like career, things that give you status, your work, the ability to earn money or to earn property, have been eroded. So, you know, this is a very specific sociocultural, socioeconomic moment.
The pendulum swinging back then in a search to try and restore some of those, that sense of safety, I suppose, is it, in control over your life?
Possibly, but I think it's just that the signifiers of masculinity that would have been assumed to be somewhat, you know, just normal, and that one expects to have disappeared. So this has been happening. This is not new, what we're seeing now. I mean, this has been going on for quite a long time. Michael Kimmel was writing about this kind of sense of aggrieved entitlement that a lot of, you know, unemployed blue-collar workers were feeling. Mm. And this has been in the ether at least since the 90s. But it's been building. And I think, you know, social media obviously put a kind of a match underneath this and has made it, you know, all of the things from economic anxiety to personal anxiety about attractiveness and, you know, status, and all of those things have been exacerbated to such an extent by social media, because it's offering very simple explanations, and it's scapegoating feminism, it's scapegoating wokeness, it's using evolutionary psychology, you know, or these manfluencers are using evolutionary psychology to explain, you know, to give very, very simplistic and problematic explanations for women, etc.
So can I ask you, Elaine, though, because we have a text there from a listener saying, maybe stop telling males that they're toxic. We need a healthy, real masculinity in this world. What do you think about that element of it? This sort of, you know, a lot of talk over the last decade or so about toxic masculinity. And in the wake of that, we see the evolution of Andrew Tate. We see Conor McGregor being invited into the White House. We see Donald Trump. Mm. We see a lot of talk about real masculinity and, you know, Facebook talking about how we need more masculinity online, Mark Zuckerberg. You know, is this sort of a reaction to a sense that masculinity is being eroded, a belief that masculinity is being eroded?
Yeah, perhaps. And one of the things that I have worked extensively with young men on is challenging these gendered expectations that social media will tell them of what it means to be a man and what masculinity actually is. And one of the things that we have found very useful in that, Sarah, is allowing people to debate among themselves and watching them educate each other as they talk through what masculinity means to them. And I do agree by referring to one particular type of masculinity as toxic, that it does insinuate that masculinity in and of itself is toxic. But no, it's what it means, and for them, for young men in particular, to work through what it means to them to be male, and the vast majority of young men are quite intent on being the best version of themselves that they can be.
Can I actually pick up on one point you've made there? I think men have a major role to play here, but I think there's one major caveat. Most men, I think, don't realise there's an issue with the younger kids or the younger males in their lives. They don't know maybe that they're coming under the influence of these types of individuals on their social media feeds. So I don't buy that, you know, men wouldn't be having these conversations. Of course they would if they realise it was an issue. And maybe that's the crux of it. Maybe they don't. Maybe they don't realise.
Possibly, Cormac, but you know another thing, we know that the big names who are influencing young men in a way that may be toxic, but there's another undercurrent that I'm seeing on social media, and Debbie may have a view on this as well, where we're seeing, for example, comedians or actors or well-known people that are under the radar of what is unacceptable when it comes to expressing masculinity, but they're getting away with it because there's such a focus on the personification of toxic masculinity online, if you know what I mean.
I mean, I could talk to you about this for the rest of the show, no problem, but unfortunately I can't talk to you about this for the rest of the show. It's really interesting speaking to both of you, and thank you for joining us with your views. That is Dr. Elaine Burns and Professor Debbie King.